Let's do that, don't worry at all. Let's stand together, shall we?
With hands held high.
With hands held high.
you are there by my side. You delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life.
By grace I'm free. You rescued me. All I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. Was lost, now I'm alive.
Jesus, we want to thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. And out of that thankfulness, just birth in our hearts of gratitude, Father. As we're thankful for what you've done, we want to do what you are planning to do. Help us to know your heart and your mind and your will and your desire for our lives. Father, I pray for Rob as he comes to speak to us. Bless him for his preparation and for his heart. And as he shares that with us this morning, as he shares his heart, may your heart be shared also.
Hello. There we go. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, team. Oh, Josh, just in the nick of time. Could you give us a hand with this, please? Good lad. Thanks. Good morning. Hiya. Nice to see you all. Welcome back from university. Those of you who are back, you having a good time? Isn't it the best thing in the world? Brilliant. Welcome back if you're here. It's half term and you're with us because of that, and you're just about to enjoy your break. It's good to see you. Just go on, say hello to the person next to you. I know you've probably done it already, but just have a look who's sat next to you. Say hello to them if you've not seen them before. Real welcome to you if you're with us for the first time. There you go. Do you know, I often say one of the greatest acts of generosity is what you do with your face, smiling at somebody, just saying hello to somebody, you know, can really break the power of darkness in somebody's life. You know, God works kindness and grace in you, and you smile at somebody else and grace and kindness work. And isn't that a wonderful thought? You can just bless somebody else's life by saying hello and smiling. And you know, we as church, we meet together because we believe that God is alive today. We believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that he is coming back. And we are people who are following Jesus Christ, but not just following the teachings of Christ, but also believing in the life of Christ. And we believe that Christ's life by the Holy Spirit of God is alive and at work today. That there is a right spirit at work in the world today, and it's found in the church, it's found in the people of God, it's found in the people sat right next to you, that God is at work today. And so we gather together to enjoy that, to celebrate that, and also to encourage one another and to remind one another of what God is doing, because the world, you know, can so crowd in around you that you can forget God's goodness. You can forget that there is a God and that he loves us and that there is somebody who is taking hold of this world and bringing it through to a right conclusion. And we believe that together. So good morning. It's the reason we get up on a Sunday morning, to come together and to worship God. I've got a couple of notices for you, which you may or may not be interested in. If you're interested in it, make a note of it. Remind yourself to get involved in it. If not, don't worry. Last Sunday, it was Compassion Sunday, and we encouraged you to sponsor children. And we sponsored 9 children last week. And I know that many of you already sponsor children. So that's 9 children who have been sponsored, 9 children who we can help to give food, education, clothes, just bring life to somebody in another part of the world. So well done. There's one more child, actually. There were 10 that we had last week. 9, 10, yes. There was one more. So if you feel over the course of this week, maybe the Lord has stirred you and you thought, oh, I've missed my opportunity, there's still opportunity to sponsor a child. So you can come and see me at the end if you'd like to. His name is Sujoy. Sujoy is his name, so there you go. If the Lord speaks to you, come and sponsor him. Now then, also, we're asking if anybody is feeling that they'd love to help out. Maybe I meet people who would love to help out in children's work, but they find that they don't maybe relate to children that well. Is that a nice way of putting it? They'd love to help out, but they find that, you know, kids can be a bit threatening, can't they? There are more of them than you. But if you'd like to help out in some way in the kids' work, we're simply looking for people to help to set the rooms up. That's all. So you wouldn't even need to come near one of them. All you'd have to do is, don't look horrified. All you've got to do is, pick up some tables, move them about, get the toys out. And it's sort of a 10, 15 minute job. But it would be a real blessing to our kids' workers if they just had, a small team of people. You might be on once every month just to come in a little bit early and set up the rooms there. So if you're interested in that, then... In fact, come and see me about that as well, okay? And I'll just, that makes it easy, doesn't it? Come and see me, and we'll get you on that team. But we do need and we do appreciate your help. Brilliant. Right, open your Bibles. If you've got a Bible with you, open it up. We're in 1 Thessalonians. I could really do with a glass of water. Is anybody close? Oh, Lucy, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, that's the fashion, that, Peter. We don't polish our shoes. No, it's the 21st century. People don't polish their shoes anymore. We have mirrors. You don't need to see your face in your shoes. I'm glad you're better, though. It's nice to see you back. It's nice to see you back to health. Chipping in. Right, 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians together. The Apostle Paul writing a letter to a church that he loves, a church that he began in Thessalonica. And we've learned a lot about these people. And we've learned a lot about the church there. And they're people in very similar circumstances to us. Except maybe they feel the pressure of persecution a little more strongly. Maybe they feel that becoming a Christian will really separate them from their friends and their neighbors. It will mean that they have to make choices which will cause others around them to become unfavorable towards them. Thanks, Lucy. What a legend. Thank you. And we've got ourselves as far as chapter 5. And last week, we heard Paul talking about those who'd fallen asleep, about Christians who have died. And he wanted the people not to be discouraged. And last week we talked about what an encouragement it is to know that heaven is waiting, that eternity is real and even present, and that those who have died will come back with the Lord. So now we are in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, aren't we? Because that's what I've prepared for you this morning. Okay, that's good. And Paul says this, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." Everyone say self-control. Some of you can't even say it. Self-control. Be alert and self-controlled. "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Got 5 points this morning. 5 points. That helps you to know when we're coming towards the end, doesn't it? When we get to sort of point four and a half, you're thinking, yes. Point five's got 6 subsections to it, though. So. No. My first thought for us this morning is that there is a day coming. And I mentioned this last week. Let's not think that this world is just trundling along by accident. It's not just circumstances that are determining the course of this world. The Bible's real clear to us that God is determining the course of this world. And there is a day which is coming. There is a day which is coming. I don't know if you're a fan of disaster movies. I quite like a good sort of action adventure, and disaster movies kind of fall into that. And there have been a few of those which perhaps speak about the end of the world. You know, it's all going to come. There's going to be calamity, whether it's going to be, that Third World War, whether there's going to be... whether it's going to be a massive flood and all those things. And lots of people think about how will it all end. And I think that's because we all live with this sense that things are wearing out, things are perishing. Everything I've ever owned has started to wear out over time. Not everything has lasted forever. I've got this... No, I'm not going to tell you about my teddy bears. My teddy bears are now 38 years old. Those little guys are wearing out. But no matter what you've had in your life, you'll find that maybe it won't last forever. And even our very lives, we recognize that we're not going to last forever. Maybe calamity and disaster, and maybe death, and maybe those things you think are things that happen to somebody else. But of course, to somebody else, you are somebody else. Yes? To somebody else, you just are somebody else. And those things will happen to each one of us. And I want to encourage you this morning, and Paul wants to encourage God's people, that there is a day coming where God will bring it to a conclusion. God will end it, and it will be by the will of God. And so all of those things which God wills will come to be. All of those things which God has intended and which God is working towards and which he is calling us to work towards will come to pass. They will come to pass. And the church were people who live in the hope that he will come. And in our New Testament, we read about people who are so given over to the call and the kingdom of God, who have such hope in the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, that they are longing for that day to come. It's not like, oh, I hope he doesn't come back before I've, whatever it is. I hope Jesus doesn't come back before I've had a chance to do such and such or do, no. They were hoping it could be any minute, any minute. So the day is coming. So let's be aware of that. Patrick said to me the other day, came round for a cup of tea, and he said, Robbie said, life is short, death is near, and eternity is a long time. I thought, well, I only invited you round for tea. I didn't give him any biscuits after that news. But it's true. Context, Rob. But it's true, life is short and death is near, and eternity is a very long time. And so we want to be people who live in light of eternity, not just be caught up by the things of this life that swarm around us and that flood our thinking, just the things of this life. The Bible says this, so we don't fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because on what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. We don't fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is unseen. How do you fix your eyes on what is unseen? Well, it's the eyes of faith. It's the eyes of faith. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal and will last forever. So the day is coming. Number two, Paul's real clear about this. He says, about times and dates we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Number two, it's not about the timing of it. It's not about the timing of it. A lot of effort and a lot of theological study, a lot of speculation has gone into working out exactly when Jesus will come back. When will he return? When will God finally bring it all to a conclusion? When will judgment day be? How can we know it? How can we be ready for it? But you know, it's not about the timing of it. The Bible doesn't tell us when it will be. And Jesus says that it's not given for us to know when that day will be. So it's not about the timing of it. What it's about the nature of it. It's about the nature of it. What's important is that when that day comes, what will it be like? Not when will it be, what will it be like? Because, you know, if you knew what time it was going to be, if you knew that it was going to be sort of, you know, 2 years on Friday, and you could put that date in your diary, it wouldn't be helpful to you. It's not helpful to live that way. I live this way. If I'm honest, I live this way. I live between people coming around to visit. And I base my tidying up on on when people are coming round to visit. And I realise that it's not a helpful way to live, because it's nice to live in a tidy house, isn't it? But I do myself a disservice, because I live in an untidy house until like the night before people are coming round, or the, you know, the afternoon before, and then I tidy everything up. I think, oh, this is a lovely house to live in. And then they arrive. And I've missed the point of a tidy house, haven't I? The point of a tidy house isn't just to impress your friends. And I'm sure you are all impressed whenever you've been round by just how tidy my house is. But that's not the point. The point is that we have a tidy house, that we have a life in which we enjoy living, that there's a nature and there's a culture of our lives which is favourable, which is helpful, which builds us up, which encourages us, which is the substance of life, yes? Yep.
You need a good woman. Well,
thank you. Thanks. I'm so glad you're back, honestly. Right. So, it's about the nature of that day, not about the date of that day, because that day will usher in eternity. It will usher in the eternal rule of Jesus Christ, and death will be finished, and sin and decay, and hatred and wars and famine, they will be ended. And we will enter into that glorious time where God's will is done in and through everyone and everything, and every knee has bowed and confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Satan will be bound up, and that will be it. No more will your soul be buffeted by sin, by temptation, and by the circumstances of this life, but we will live in the light of the glory of God. And what is the nature of that then, and how can we be ready? See, if I knew what day it was, I would get myself ready by keeping an eye on the time, keeping an eye on the calendar, and thinking I'll get everything sorted the day before. I'm a day before kind of person. And as I've got older and I've started worrying less about life, I've become kind of like an hour before sort of person. The situation's not improved. But actually, because this is going to come like a thief in the night, like a moment, it could happen now, it could happen next year, it could happen in 1,000 years, who knows. But because it's about the nature of it, what kind of preparation should we put in place? Well, we need to adopt that nature today, understand what the nature of the coming kingdom of God is, and pray and seek God and allow ourselves to adopt that nature today. Turn with me quickly to 2 Timothy. That's just a few pages on in your Bible. 2 Timothy 3. And we're just going to read verses 1 to 4 there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 4. The Apostle Paul talking about the last days. Are we in the last days? Well, he was, and I'm pretty sure if he was, then we are even more so, even closer. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. You know, if we want to understand what the nature of God's coming kingdom is, often we can look at these things, which talk about the terrible times that are happening in the last days, and say, well, actually, what's the opposite way to live? You know, if you don't want to be a fool, go and read Proverbs, and it'll tell you what a fool looks like, and go and do something else. Go and do something other than the fool would do, and you'll find yourself growing in wisdom. But you see here, I mean, if in the life, the terrible times and the last days are to do with the nature of people, then actually the great blessing of the last days, the great blessing of God's people, will be, they will be by nature different. They will be by nature godly. So in the last days, I would love this to be true of the church and of my life too. And we ought to be people who are longing for this. In the last days, there will be wonderful times. Because as the darkness grows darker, the light will grow lighter, the Bible says. In the last days, because of who you are, because you are the light and the salt of the earth, there will also be wonderful times. And that will be because, let's have a look at this list again, people will be lovers of others. People will be lovers of others. We'll love one another. They won't love money, but they'd rather use their money to bless other people. Instead of being boastful, they'll be humble, and instead of being proud, they'll be gentle-hearted people, not looking to put themselves forwards. They won't be abusive, but they'll be caring. They'll be obedient to their parents. They'll be grateful and holy. They'll be full of love. They'll be forgiving. They'll always speak kind words about other people. They'll be self-controlled. They'll be gentle. They'll be lovers of good. They'll be lovers of good. They'll be patient, thoughtful, and they'll be lovers of God instead of lovers of pleasure. And they won't just have a form of godliness, but they'll have a powerful life of God in them. This is who we are. This is who God has called us to be. And the wonderful times that are coming are going to not take people by surprise if they're living that way. Because, number three, see, we're getting through. Number three, we have an invitation to live now in the light of God. One day the light's coming. And Paul says here that for some people it's going to come like a thief in the night. And nobody expects the thief to come. If you knew what night the thief was coming, you'd be more ready than normal. Yes? You probably wouldn't go on holiday. You probably wouldn't leave the back door unlocked or the kitchen window open or whatever it was, if you knew when that day was coming. But you see, we have an invitation right now to live ready so that that day won't come as a surprise. It won't surprise us. And so God invites you, and Paul uses this analogy of waking up. In verse 4, he says this, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." The invitation is to wake up. What does Isaiah 60 say? "Arise, wake up. And the Lord will shine on you, and the light of Christ will be seen upon you." Wake up, wake up. Wake up. You know, I'm not a person who enjoys waking up often. I don't enjoy being woken up. Maybe that's different. I quite like waking up if I can have a slow wake up, you know, my own pace. But being woken up, who enjoys being woken up? That wasn't just a rhetorical question. If you really enjoy it, you can put your hand up, but... And I, particularly as a younger man, I remember on a Friday, Saturday night, I worked in the Boozy Dog in Newcastle. And the Boozy Dog was a club in town, and I was a glass collector, and wow, I saw some sights there. The Boozy Dog, what a place. And so I was working in the Boozy Dog on a Friday, Saturday night, and on a Saturday morning, I'd be going to work with my dad, working on the removals vans. And so my dad, I used to get in from work at about 2:30 in the morning on a Friday night, get up for work at about 7:00 on a Saturday morning. And of course, my dad, as he's going down the stairs, he's got this little routine we'd have going on. My dad would go downstairs, "Morning, Rob, come on, son, let's go." And I'd be, you know, he'd get like a grunt from the bedroom. And then sort of 10, 15 minutes had passed, and then the voice of my father would grow slightly stronger. "Rob! Oh, yeah, okay, I'm still in bed." And I learned, how ridiculous is this? I started to put my leg out of the bed and just put my foot on the floor and kind of like do this. So it would sound like I was walking around the bedroom, getting ready. And I'm sure my dad was fooled by that. Legs out of the bed, and I'm trying desperately to hold on to sleep and have my dad think that I'm awake. And in the end, you know, the bellow from downstairs would be so unbearable that I'd get up and start my day quite badly. And it's always uncomfortable, isn't it, to be woken up? Yes, you go from a place of comfort to a place of discomfort. And for a moment, you think it would be better to be asleep than to be awake. It would be better, it would be warmer, it would be cozier, it would be more comfortable to be asleep and in bed than to have to get up. But you know, this is why Paul talks about it like this. Because it can be quite comfortable to live in the darkness. It can be quite comfortable to live in ignorance. But he's saying there needs to be a wake-up call. We don't need to fear the wake-up call. When I was 12, you're going to find this hard to believe, I was a bit naughty at school. I was a bit naughty, right? And I didn't realize how naughty I was. And I'd been a good kid up to then, and then I started having this really kind of naughty spell. And, you know, I was hanging around with, a different group of mates, and I wasn't getting work in on time. And I didn't really notice. I didn't really notice it happen. Until it was Parents' Day, like Parents' Evening. And I didn't know that I'd been going down a naughty road. Oh, my word, did I find out on Parents' Evening. Oh, my word. You know, a bad report from every teacher. You know, the report card was, you know, Rob just messing about and all of that. And, you know, I didn't see, you know, parents went to Parents' Evening. I was at home. And then they come home and, oh, my. Did I have a wake-up call? You know what I'm talking about. And suddenly, I didn't even know that it was happening to me. And it was uncomfortable. I didn't like it. It was hard to hear. And it was difficult to then walk out of. But, you know, now I'm so, so glad that at 12 years old I had that wake-up call. I'm so glad it happened then. I'm so glad that somebody loved me enough to say, no, Rob, no more. You can't do this. This is not right. And it came strong, but it came with love, of course. Came with love, but it came strong. And so, as the people of God, let's not be afraid to hear the strong, loving voice of God. Because there might be areas in our lives where we need to just wake up. Just wake up. Oh, but it makes me feel, oh, but I don't like that, or the what you said made me feel like this, and I didn't like it. And well, okay, that's fine. Okay, stop in bed then. But I want to live. I want to wake up. I want to live in the light. I want to live in the light of God's goodness, in the light of his kingdom, and in the light of his grace, and not be deceived into thinking that I can just tick along at my own pace, doing what I want, living how I want, and expect that day not to catch me by surprise. And you see, this is what grace and forgiveness is for. See, grace and forgiveness is so that when you have been asleep and when you have been living that way, that you can turn around to God, you can come to God and know that he will lift you up. He'll help you stand. He'll get you dressed. He'll get you ready for the day. So we've got an invitation to live right now in the light of God's kingdom and the light of God's truth. And you know, Christianity... Christianity is not because you have a certain set of beliefs. It's not somebody who just ascribes to a certain set of beliefs, but it's somebody who's been changed by the revelation of the truth. It's somebody whose life has been shaped and changed because that light has come and they've responded to it. And it's not in our own strength, but it's this belief and this knowledge that, as I said earlier on, that Christ's life is at work in us. That this kingdom which is coming is already alive and at work in us. And so, in order to wake up, you might have to choose to leave behind some of the things that your human nature desires in order to agree with that heavenly nature in you. There's a heavenly life in you, and all we have to do is agree with the heavenly life. Let things come into line with that heavenly life in us. And so Paul says that. He says, let's not be like those who are asleep, but let's be those who are awake and ready. So that when God's kingdom is established on that day. Oh, we'll be so ready for it. What were we on? Was that 4? No, it wasn't. It was 3. Don't nod. Number 4. Listen, to live the heavenly life, Paul says this, we're going to need some encouragement. Encourage one another. We're right towards the end here now. God didn't appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. It's not God's plan that you would suffer wrath. It's not God's hope and intention that on that day you will be asleep. God's hope for you and God's desire and God's power and God's focus and God's thought for your life is that on that day you'll be awake, that you'll be ready. He doesn't want to catch you by surprise. He wants you to be awake and ready. But he says, he died for us. This is verse 10. He died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, Paul's going back to the alive or dead here. He's not talking now about that spiritual sleep. He's talking about whether we're alive on the earth today or whether we're one of those who've died before the Lord came back. So that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. It's going to take great courage and therefore encouragement to live the Christ life on the earth. It's going to take encouragement because, why will it take encouragement? Because you are choosing to go against the tide of the world. You're choosing to step out from under darkness, to wake up and to stand in the light. And as we've already read in the last days, there will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, boastful, proud, disobedient to parents. And you know what happens is when you decide, and it's a funny old thing, you would think that if you became a person who was humble, who was gentle and kind, who was obedient to your parents, who refused to steal, who refused to put money first and put job first and all of that, if you became somebody, you would think that everybody would love that, wouldn't you? You would think that everybody would just say, well, that is brilliant. But the truth is, if you choose to become that person, you becoming somebody who speaks about the kingdom of God, and you know it challenges the world around you. It starts to challenge the world around you and people become uncomfortable. They become uncomfortable by the challenge. You start talking about God and you start talking about righteousness and holiness and you start talking about peace and forgiveness and all of a sudden people start to get uncomfortable around you. So you're choosing to stand against the tide of the world. And you know you're going to need some encouragement to do that. You're going to need somebody around you who says, come on, you can do it. Don't be dismayed. Just because people don't like you doesn't mean you're on the wrong track. It's okay. Press on, press on. You're going against the tide. And today, it might cost you something to follow Jesus. I always thought when I came to Jesus, everything would be brilliant. Everything would be fine. You know, everything would be solved. Come to Jesus. But you know, the truth is, if you come to Jesus, a lot of other things might start to fall apart. And the Thessalonians were people who certainly found this. They came to Christ, they followed God, and all of a sudden, the whole city was in uproar. There was a riot. And they were like, well, all we want to do is follow Jesus. And there's a riot around them. It's not easy anymore. It's not easy to go to the market anymore and just buy meat from the market. Because it's all been sacrificed to idols. It's not easy anymore because their neighbors are accusing them of not following Caesar. They're accusing them of following Jesus instead and calling somebody else king. And so the whole thing gets difficult for them. And so Paul's writing to him says, encourage each other, build each other up because you're on the right track. You're on the right track. And you might have to deny something now in this world. Oh, but the treasures that are being stored up for you in heaven. The treasures that are being stored up. And I love it when Paul writes to these churches, he doesn't make empty promises. He doesn't make empty promises. He doesn't say, well, if you just pray hard enough or if you just send me a little bit more money, then I can promise you all those situations are going to be all right in a year or so. Or, you know, God will bring that, you know, sort that all out. He doesn't say that. He says, listen, I know it's tough. But eternity, eternity, eternity. kingdom of God, and it's coming. So it might be difficult now. Why? Because you don't belong to the world. Have you ever found yourself somewhere where you just don't belong? You know, you walk into a party and you didn't know it wasn't fancy dress. And you come like dressed as a tomato or something. And you think, oh, I've come to the wrong place here. I really don't belong here. And it's, you know, maybe you've gone in the wrong side of the football stadium and you're wearing the wrong shirt in the wrong place. And all of a sudden you feel uncomfortable. I don't belong here. And if that's how you feel around the things of this world, if that's how you feel around, you know, gossip, if that's how you feel around dark talk and around, well, if there are certain films that you can no longer tolerate watching, then this is a good thing. If there's certain music you just have to turn off because it's like, oh, I just can't, this is a good thing. You have suddenly become more at home in the kingdom of God than you are in this world and in this life. You're more at home with the things of God. And this is good news. This is good news. So you're going against the tide of the world, and you're also going just against the tide of your own carnal nature. Finally, number five. He says this, therefore encourage one another up, build each other, as you just in fact are doing. The verse before that, he died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. He wants to give you life today, and he wants your life to be found in him and in him alone. So that whether awake or asleep, we may live together with him. I'm going to encourage you today, if you feel more at home with the things of the world than you do with the things of God, I want to encourage you, ask God about it, go to God and say, Lord, bring light into my life, bring revelation, show me, and if I need to be woken up, wake me up, Lord, wake me up. If you've become a Christian at some stage in your life, you've given your life to God, and then you've found yourself going back, maybe, and becoming more familiar again with the things that you know aren't right, I want to encourage you, stop for a moment. Turn back to God. It'll take some effort. You might feel uncomfortable, but go to God and ask him to stir in you again the life of the kingdom of God. Ask him to bring you there. I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, you knew one thing about a man who went out of the city carrying a cross, and that it was this, that he wasn't coming back. And when Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him, he wants us not to go back. He wants us to go at it 100% and not come back, not to be captivated again by the things of this world. Why? Because we're of the light and not of the darkness. Turn with me, Romans 13. Romans 13. He wants the life of God in you. Romans 13 and verse 8. In my Bible, this is entitled Love, for the Day is Near. That day is near. Life is short. Death is near. And eternity is a long time. Love, for the day is near. Let no debt, this is Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Let there be nothing else in your life that remains lacking. Let God resolve things in your life. Go to him and say, God, resolve those things which are lacking. All apart from this continuing debt to love one another. Why? Because that goes on. And every day there'll be a fresh need to love somebody differently and to love somebody else. And there'll be a fresh need to allow love to cover over sins. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let's live aware of what the time is. Let's live with this awareness and the knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming back. And one day it's going to feel like it was ever so quick. You will feel like it came so quickly and it was so soon. So today, let's live like that. Let's love one another. Let's love one another. And let's be those people who live in the light of love, hey? Think of somebody that needs you to love them. Just have a think right now in your life. Is there somebody that I really need to go and let God's kingdom shine on? Have I got myself just caught up in my own desires and caught up in this world that I've forgotten how to just go and love somebody else? And I want you today, go and love them. Just go and find them. Phone them up. Go and speak to them. Do something with it. We're going to worship God again. I'm just going to spend the next 10 minutes just in worship to God. And as we do, I want you just to bring your life to God again. Ask yourself these questions that we've asked ourselves. Are we ready? Are we living in the light? Are there things that we need to lay aside? Does God need to wake us up a little bit? And if he does, don't just stick your foot out of bed. Jump up, get ready, get dressed, be alert, be alive. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of your kingdom. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us, and we pray that today, Lord, we would know the wonderful presence of Christ, Lord, that we'd know how to live in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God today. And God, would you wake us up, Lord, to love one another. Lord, would you wake us up, God, to be people who are a blessing to our world. And God, would you give us strength and courage, Lord, to go against the flow. Lord, give us strength and courage, Lord, to be conformed and changed, not to the world's image, but to your image. We pray for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together as we sing, shall we?
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor.
My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone. Savior's love through the sea. itself. Oh, may I there in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Just our voices. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Hey. Christ alone. Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. You stood before creation, eternity in Your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon Your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to You. So I walk, so I walk upon salvation. Your Spirit alive in me. There's life to declare Your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? So what could I do? But offer this heart, so God, completely to You. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to You. So I stand Those I not abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. I stand, so I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am, it's yours. I'll stand, so I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. All 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 I am is yours.
Ourselves to you, Father, and just as there's no going back for you, we say there's no going back for us too. We want to follow you, we want to serve you, and we want to live in the light. Give us the strength, give us the wisdom and the courage to do what's right, and walk with us, I pray, as we do sometimes not what's easy but what's hard, but we know what we know to be true. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Well, if you'd like prayer at all this morning, we'll be here at the front to pray with you. Jeff, are you on today? And Jan. Excellent. We'll be here to pray for you. Don't forget we have an evening service now, 6:30. We're back here if you'd like to come back. Otherwise, have a brilliant day today. Enjoy some fellowship together over a cup of tea.
Stars, I hear the mighty thunder.